Thank you, Brent. The music was just wonderful as always. Tonight, the title of my message is God's Plan is Perfect. And that seems like a really simple concept. Of course God's plan is perfect. We know that. We've heard that our entire lives. So His plan is perfect, and like I said, a simple concept, but it proves time and time again to seem to be really hard to put our trust in, that His plan for our lives is perfect. So right now I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9 together. So once you get there, if you would, just stand up to honor the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 55, I'll give you a minute to get there. Like I said, we'll be in verses 8 and 9. All right. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, if you would, just pray with me, and then we'll sit down, and we'll get going. I'm really excited about this message tonight. I've been studying a lot, and just I think it's something that just really needs to be said, something that can really make a difference. So if you would just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for today, and we thank You for just the opportunity to gather and worship together. And God, I just thank You for the opportunity to speak tonight. I love getting up here and preaching the Word, and I just pray that You'd speak through me tonight. You would just move me aside, and everything that I say and do while I'm up in this pulpit, Lord, would glorify You. God, move in a mighty way. And Lord, we just praise You and we thank You. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Like I said, a simple concept that we hear, God's plan is perfect. We know that, but it's so hard to seem to really put our trust in that. And I started thinking about that. We make all sorts of excuses sometimes, and I'll get to that in just a second. But one thing I want you to know before we really jump in tonight is that each and every person in here was designed by God. God created you in His own image, and He made you with a specific plan, a specific purpose for your life. Everything for your life was intended for you. He didn't make you randomly. It wasn't a mistake. God has a specific plan for your life. But like I said, sometimes excuses tends to get in our way of those plans that God has for us. They can blind us, the excuses that we have. I mean, from anything as, you know, it's too much effort, it's too much time. I'm content with the way my life's going. Maybe I'm not comfortable speaking to people. Maybe I'm not smart enough. I feel like I just can't, you know, memorize things. I feel like I can't go be an example because of the way I've lived. We let all these excuses get in the way of God moving in our lives. And so I immediately started thinking about different people in the Bible who had excuses. One of them that is so famous in the Bible is Moses. And you all know Moses' story. Okay, he was a Hebrew, and Pharaoh had a law that they were going to kill all the male babies when they were born. So Moses' mother hid him, and then she sent him down the river in a basket, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And ended up, they raised him for a while together, and then Moses was totally brought up in Egyptian law and Egyptian customs as a Hebrew. And so then, one day, as he's older, he goes out and he sees that there's an Egyptian man. And he's striking, he's beating a Hebrew. And Moses gets angry. Moses is just furious. He's like, those are my people. He knows he's a Hebrew at this point. And so what I think is really crazy about this story is Moses, he goes and he kills that Egyptian man. He was so angry, he kills that Egyptian man, and Pharaoh says, we're going to kill Moses. He's going to go after him. So Moses flees to Midian. He flees and he goes and he meets these girls, and they take him to their father, and he's a shepherd, and Moses becomes a shepherd. He herds sheep, and then you all know the story from there. He's walking his sheep out one day, and he comes across the burning bush. Okay, a very popular story. So many of our students know it, our adults, all of y'all know that story. He comes across the burning bush, and God speaks to him, and Moses, when he looks to God, when he looks at the burning bush, that's when God speaks to him, says, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I've heard my people's cry. I want you to go and free them. I want you to go tell them. And by the way, Pharaoh, he's not going to let them go. What a task that must have been. But one thing about God, when He speaks to His people, when He's requiring something to happen, when He is about to work in their lives, He always requires a change in them. Moses could no longer be a shepherd. He could no longer herd sheep and go free the people out of Egypt. Think about Jeremiah. Man, Jeremiah was just a young, you know, like he was just a youth, and that was one of the excuses. God said, Jeremiah, I've known you before you were born. I knew that you were going to be a prophet. I knew the plans that I had for you. I set you up for this. You are going to be fine. I will be with you. The same thing God said to Moses. Because Moses made that excuse. He said, I can't speak. I can't go out. I don't speak eloquently. I don't speak smoothly. Like, there's no way I can do this. And God says, I'll be with your mouth. I'm with you, but it requires a change today, something different right now. You've got to go and do this because this is my plan for you. You see, God, like I said, has set a plan for you, has set a purpose for your life, each and every individual one of you. And we would be really prideful to think that we could set out our own plans, that we could map out our own lives, that we could set everything in order for ourselves and ask God to join us when He was the person that created us. He hung the moon, He hung the sun, the stars, He created everything around us, and He took the time to create you with a specific plan, a specific purpose in mind. And so often we say, God, we have a plan for our lives. We know what we're doing. We know how to become successful. Like, please, God, just join me in what I have planned. That's really prideful. That tends to be really selfish of us to be able to do that, because the Creator of the earth has a plan for you, and that's what you need to be living by. You need to be living for the Lord, living according to that plan. But you say, how do you do that? We got to stop with those excuses. Once Moses was ready to stop giving excuses, and he said, you know what, okay, God, I'll go. And he goes, y'all know what happens. He's able to free the people of Egypt. I mean, the plagues come, some really bad things happen, but Moses stays strong because God said he's with him. And then Jeremiah says, I'm just a youth. I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say to him when I get there? I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. He felt inadequate. But God said, don't worry, I'm with you. I know the plan I have for you. Don't fear what I have planned for you, because it's far better than what you have planned. Because like I said in verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So often, like I said, we set our goals, we set our plans, we know what we have in store for us, and then we say, God, come join us. We should be joining God. We should be joining Him and His plan for us. That's the only way to live the way He wants us to live. Have you ever sat back and you just kind of feel like miserable sometimes? Or maybe you feel like God's just not hearing you? Maybe you feel like your prayers aren't being answered? I want you to think about something really seriously tonight. Think about this. Just let it sit in. Are you asking God to join you? Or are you trying to figure out where God's working in your life and joining Him? Because there's a really big difference. I know when I started teaching, I had an amazing experience in college, and then when I started teaching, and y'all know I only taught for 1 year, so that lasted a good amount, right? Yeah, that was real fun. But anyways, like I said, I made so many excuses to deny my call to ministry. And I went through college, and I was able to be very successful. I had the highest EdTPA certification scores in my entire graduating class. I got an award for the most outstanding student in my graduating class. I had job offers from all over the county. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm not saying this to like tell you all my accolades or anything like that. I'm telling you this because I want you to know what kind of change I had to go through once God spoke to me and I opened up my heart. I was willing to receive that change. I had all these things lined up. I had my life planned out perfectly. I mean, I was going to do everything the right way. I wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to move up and do all these sorts of things, maybe in administration one day. I knew what I was going to do. And it wasn't until I decided to open my eyes and open my heart and say, you know what, God? This has been my plan all along. What's your plan for me? How can I serve you? How can I join you in what you're doing? And He started to make it so apparent, so clear to me. And now I'm not a person that likes change. If you know me, I do not like change. I am not kidding. It's terrible. I can remember when I was in middle school. Middle schoolers usually don't really care about anything going on. Like it just blows right by them. They don't see. Not me. I would come home from school, and my mom would have moved the furniture around. And I couldn't stand it. I mean, I'm in middle school. Who cares where the couch is when you're in middle school? I did. I was like, Mom, you got to move it back. I cannot deal with this. I can't. Fast forward 10 years later, okay, I'm 23 years old now, married to Courtney. When we got married, we did what everybody does. You know, we got into our house, and then we moved a few months later, so we get in this house, we put a bunch of boxes together of stuff that we thought we'd remember where it was. We didn't label anything, we put it all in the bedroom, we closed the door, and haven't seen it since. okay? I'm just kidding. We were unpacking the kitchen, all right? We're unpacking the kitchen, and we got the little silverware drawer. And it's got the little organizer for your silverware. We put it in there. And like I said, I don't like change. I cannot stand it. Our silverware was lined up like this, okay? Knives, forks, and spoons. That's the order it went in. It's been that way for months since we got married. I come in the house one day, and Courtney was so nice to do the dishes, okay? And I go to get a spoon out to eat some yogurt or something, and it was knives, spoons, forks. I stopped everything I was doing. I went and found Courtney. I was like, what did you do to the silverware drawer? Like, are you serious? I mean, like, it's all messed up. I can't eat my yogurt now. The spoon was in the wrong place. Now I gotta fix it. I mean, I don't like change. I don't. And I know that those are really silly examples, but it represents something far greater. Change is something that tends to be so foreign to us. Many people don't like change. I know I'm not the only one. But like I said, when God's, that's right, Pastor Bill, amen, I like it. Don't like change. It's hard. It's a foreign concept. When we get content in what we have, when we get content in our ways, we don't like to change it because we're living the good life. We know what we're doing. We've got it planned out. But like I said, when God's ready to move, He makes it very apparent to His people. There's nobody in Scripture that God came and told something to, or there's nowhere that God did something with somebody in Scripture and He didn't tell them before. You see it throughout all Scripture. God speaks. God says, the Lord said this. Like, think, God came to Noah before the flood. How would Noah know about the flood before, unless God had told him? What about Moses? Moses wouldn't have known to go to Egypt if God wouldn't have told him. Jeremiah wouldn't have known he was going to be a prophet if God wouldn't have come and told him. They were open to what God had to say. And you don't have to be called to ministry. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be, you know, a missionary, anything like that. But God does require us to have a change of heart when we are seeking His plan for our lives. Like I said, change, it's tough. But it's something that we have to do if we want to be living according to God's will. And Brian, you mentioned some of it this morning, just people mentioning the hypocrisy in the church. And just to be blatantly honest, I'm so tired of people outside thinking that we're hypocrites in the church. And I sit back and I think, what if we were all just seeking what God wanted us to do rather than doing what we wanted to do? Would people see us as hypocrites anymore? Or would they see us and recognize that we're living for God? We're living to serve God because He's so worthy of it. And then I love this in verse 9. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I think about that, how often we think that we've got everything figured out, how prideful we can be, how, you know, we think we have it all figured out. I thought I had it all figured out in school. I knew what I was doing. I tried to be as personal as I could be. I wanted to make interactions with everybody in the school system. I was doing my absolute best to just escalate myself. I thought I had it all figured out. And there were times where I was just absolutely miserable at that school. I was getting all these things and just sat back and was like, man, I'm missing something. Something is missing. What is missing? Well, I haven't asked God if He's involved in it at all. I hadn't at all. And once I opened up and I started realizing, that's when I realized that God was calling me to ministry. And it was going to require a big change. And y'all, we've got a pastor, an associate pastor, youth pastor, that I can tell you the same thing. They had to change when they were called to ministry. There was a big change. And then y'all know T.R. Sweeney. Y'all have met him before. He was a missionary in Honduras. He had a drastic life change when he opened up his heart to what God would have him to do. So tonight, are you willing to change? Are you willing to make a change for God? Because I know there's some of us that are still just so worried, so consumed by our plans for our life, what we can accomplish, what we can do. And I'm telling you, you're going to miss it. You're putting blinders up. You're giving excuses. You're putting blinders up to what God can do in your life. And there's nothing better than when I see just testimonies and stories of people that will just come up and say, you know what, once I figured it out and I was willing to change my life, because like I said, I don't like change. It was really tough for me. But now I'm way more open to it. But when you're willing to change your life because that's what God requires, you can find so much more joy, so much more peace. I've had one of the best months here at Grace Baptist Church since I started. I've been able to hang out with some students. They've been able to help me with things, and I've been able to preach to them. And We started new things in Sunday school this morning. I'm excited because I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I love that. I love being able to say that now comfortably, that God, I'm doing what you want me to do. I didn't used to, but I turned from my ways. And you know what? Now I just want to serve you. I want to go full force right with you. I want to see what you're doing in my life. I want to see what you're doing in other people's lives. And it's one of the greatest things you can have, is living for God. Having that peace, knowing that everything's okay because He takes care of you. We tend to fear the unknown. I've said that before. We tend to fear the unknown. Maybe that change is scaring you because you don't know what the future is to hold. I did not know that I would have a job opportunity here at Grace when I surrendered to ministry. I didn't know we'd be split in the high school and the middle school. It was almost like when I surrendered to ministry, God was like, all right, what you been waiting on? Let's get it started. It was awesome how it just fell into place. It's amazing how God will make things fall into place, because even though you fear the unknown, can I tell you tonight, it's not unknown at all. It's 100% known by God. He knows everything that's going to happen, everything that He's going to accomplish through you when you live for Him. He knows it. So there's no reason for us to fear. There's no reason for us to have anxiety. There's no reason for us to get locked up and set so much in our ways that we're not willing to change and we miss out on what God's trying to do in our lives. Joining Him is one of the most important things you can do. One of my favorite authors and one of the best books I've read, Brian actually gave me a copy of it, but it's Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And he does a great job of just showing you how you can go and you can join God and you can experience God once you're willing to sit back and you're willing to change. Because like I said, in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, Blackaby said this, every time God spoke to somebody, it required them to change. We can't be content anymore. We got to be Christians that are willing to stand up and be bold and say, you know what? I know that God has something in store for me because He made me in His own image. He made me with a purpose. He made me with a plan. What is that plan? And how do you figure that out? I told the kids this morning, I love this, okay? If they were listening, I know that they're out there. They remember, because it's one of my favorite things to tell them, okay? I said, what's the best way to get to know somebody? And they're, of course, like, spend time with them. Yeah. You know, you spend time with them, you get to know them. When you get saved, you meet Jesus Christ. To get to know Him more and more each day, to understand how He works in your life, you have to spend time with Him. It's not finished when you're saved. You don't get saved and then sit in the church for the rest of your life not progressing, not going forward. You spend time with God. You look in His Scripture because we find so much truth in His Scripture. He speaks to us through His Scripture. And that's when we can sit back, we spent time with Him, we know, and we say, you know what, God, I've spent time with you, I'm there with you, I want to join you now. I understand more of who you are. Think of how many people you know that profess to be believers and to be Christians, and they're not willing to change their ways. Like Brian said, habitually living in sin, because they're just not willing to give it up, they're not willing to change, they don't want to be different, they're stuck in their ways. How many of us tonight have been stuck in our ways? I know I was for a long time. When I was younger, I battled with pride. When I was in high school, I battled with pride. I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I was just really smart. And man, it hit me really quick that I wasn't, you know. That real world hit, and I was like, wow, man, I don't know what I'm doing at all, you know. And it was just kind of some humble pie. It was awesome. But it helped me realize that I needed to join God. I needed to spend time with Him. Because, like I said, the more you spend time with Him, the more you get in your Word, the more you pray with Him, the more you just ask Him to reveal His plan for you, He'll start speaking to you. But like I said, when you think He's gone silent, when you think that God has not answered your prayers, sit back and think, what have I been praying for? What have I been asking of God to do? Am I asking Him to bless the things around me that I've planned out? Have I asked Him to join me? And then, like I said, Blackaby is one of my favorite authors. He wrote something really cool. And then I saw it in a commentary as well. It said, we as Christians, so many of us have made God in our own image and started to think that He works and thinks the same way we do. And I read that over and over and over, and I just sat back and I thought about it. And I was like, wow, that's so true. We've really made it to where we think we can do as we please, do as we want, and say, God, you know what, I know you got a plan for me, I believe that, I profess that, but no thanks. That's a dangerous spot to be. It's a really dangerous spot to be. The more you do that, the more that you grow away from God trying to chase after your plan, the harder it is to come back. The more you fall into temptation, it's just it's a domino effect. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all that have had experience with that, y'all that have seen that happen to other people. I've seen it happen to family members, grow up in church, they know the way they're supposed to go, they know what they're doing, they just keep falling into temptation because they don't want to go that next step and build a true relationship with God. They want to hang on to their salvation and say, I'm covered by grace. But they don't want to go that extra mile. They don't want to say, I want to work for Jesus. I want to go, I want to serve Him. I want to make a difference in the world by living the way He wants me to live. I'm going to put my plans away and change my life. I'm going to let God change my life. That 10 months that I was like a teacher and then I was coming to the ministry and I was interning, I was helping, it was one of the most confusing, hard times of my life. And Courtney was right there with me along the way. She can tell you, it was so incredibly difficult because I was so confused at first. I was just getting my relationship with God straight. I was just getting more serious about it. And I was like, I feel like He's telling me to do this. Nope, I feel like He's telling me to do this. Maybe I just need to teach Sunday school. Maybe I just need to do this. I was so confused. Like I said, the more and more I got in Scripture, God speaks through His Scripture. And He lets us see where He's working in our lives so we can step out and join Him. Joining God is a tough thing to do sometimes. Like I said, a simple concept. But if you look around to so many people you know, maybe even yourself tonight, you see that it's really tough to put your trust in that God's plan for your life is perfect. But I'm telling you tonight, it is. He knows what He's got in store for you. Jeremiah 29:11, when He's speaking to Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you. And then, like I said, fear. We don't need to fear the unknown. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Sound mind being a really important one, knowing that we can go forward without fear, without anxiety, knowing that we can change our lives, go through that difficult change, but come out okay on the other side because we know we're living for God. Moses had to go back to his Egyptian family members that he'd been with and say, you know what, these plagues are coming. Sorry, Pharaoh won't let the people go. Can you imagine the position that he was in? Imagine Jeremiah, God telling him, you're going to go speak to many nations. And Jeremiah had a tough, tough task. He didn't go and just preach the gospel to people and make people feel good. He went and talked about some condemnation, some discipline that God was going to, you know, deal with. I mean, he kind of gave some bad news to people. And he was just a young kid. Imagine young kids, you coming up and you telling all the adults in here, like, listen, this is what's going to happen. I mean, that's scary, right? Really scary. But God said, I'll be with you. It's okay. I've got your back. I know the plans I have for you. I know the course I've set before you, and I know what I'm going to accomplish through you. So tonight, maybe you're at that point, that turning point of, I think I know what God wants me to do. I'm not completely sure, but I want to make a change because now I know God requires a change in me. Like I said, all through Scripture, anytime God speaks to somebody, it requires a change in them. David couldn't be a shepherd anymore to become king. Moses couldn't be a shepherd anymore. Peter couldn't be a fisherman anymore. Jesus said, follow me, and he walked off and followed him. It requires a change. I'm not saying you have to be called to ministry. I'm just saying seek where God is working in your life. Join him in what he's doing. Stay away from asking him to join you in your goals, in your plans, what you want to accomplish. And say, God, what would you have me do? Open up my eyes, open up my heart. I want to spend time in the Scripture. I want to get to know you more. Because he's worth getting to know, I promise. It's amazing. He's so worth getting to know. Because the more you understand him, the better it'll be. The more you'll understand him for the rest of your life. You'll understand how he works, how he speaks to you through the Scripture. Maybe you're saying, how does he speak through Scripture? You got to open it up and find out. You got to see it. You got to read it. And you got to believe it. You got to know that everything in between these pages is true. And it's important, and it applies to your life. So tonight, I just want to ask you, Brent, if you'll come up and just kind of start playing. Are you willing to change tonight? Are you willing to believe that God's plan for your life is perfect, that He set you up with a plan? Think of that. The Creator of everything, from the beginning of time, God's been at work since the beginning of time, been creating things. There's people born every day. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, where you grew up, what kind of life you've had before this. God just says, I'll be with you. I've got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. But you've got to be willing to seek that plan out. You got to be willing to come to me. You got to be willing to spend time with me and understand how I work in your life so you can join me. So maybe a change tonight is just as simple as, you know what, I need to spend more time with God. I need to get to know Him more. That's a big change to make. Like I said, don't let those excuses, too much time, too much effort, don't let those get in the way. Realize we need to be spending time with Him. Or maybe tonight, you know that you've been battling with the change. You need to make a change in your life. Whether it be a job or, you know, school or whatever it may be. I remember sitting right there just thinking, goodness, what are my friends going to think? What are my teachers going to think? What are my principal going to think? Now, I've only been doing this for half a year. I had no idea what was to come, but I just put my trust in God that it'd be okay, that He'd be with me through all of it. And you can do that same thing tonight. God, just let me join you in what you're doing. Reveal to me what you're doing in my life so I can join you. And I don't think you'll ever look back. I really don't. It's just amazing to see people that change their lives for Jesus and what happens. Remember, right, Brother Mark? It is. It's awesome. It just gets me pumped up to see that. I remember, like I already mentioned, T.R. Sweeney. I got to ride with him and Brian in Honduras in the truck for like an hour, 2 hours or so. And I mean, man, it was awesome to just hear that guy talk. He just said, man, God just changed my life. Talking, I mean, I'll let him tell his testimony to you if you ever meet him. It's amazing. But just tattooed up, biker, just rough guy. And he said, I just realized I needed to be living for the Lord, you know. People can make a change. Don't worry about what other people think. I really, really struggled with that. Now I just want to be confident. I want to go and be an example of Jesus Christ. When my friends see me, I want to see God glorified. I want them to see God glorified through what I'm doing. I want to be able to say, you know what? I was called to ministry and I went for it. Best decision I ever made. So tonight, like I said, maybe you need to make a change. I don't know your hearts. That's between you and God. But whether it be a change in wanting to spend more time with Him, wanting to understand Him more, maybe it be a change, maybe a call to ministry, I don't know. Or maybe you need to get saved tonight. Maybe you realize that God is ready to save your life. And you've never received that salvation before. You never received that free gift. Maybe that's you tonight. You want to change. You want to get to know Him more, and you've never met Him. You can meet Jesus Christ tonight. You can accept Him in and meet Him tonight and grow the rest of your life getting to know Him. So I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to pray for us, and Pastor Bill, if you'll come up front as well, I'll be down here to pray with. If you need to make a change tonight, make a difference in your life, if you recognize that God can work in your life and you know that, and you've been living for yourself and you want to live for Him, come put that at the altar tonight. Come give it to God. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of you because He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for today. God, I thank You for showing me through Scripture and through prayer and spending time with You that I needed a life change, that I needed to stop living for myself and live for You. God, I pray if there's anybody in this room tonight that has been living for themselves or has been skeptical about asking You for help and knowing that Your plan's perfect for them, I just pray they'd give that to You tonight. If they're worried about what people would think, pray they'd give that to You tonight too. I struggled with that for a long time. It's so nice to know I don't have to struggle with that anymore. I'm proud of You. I'm proud of who You are. And I know everybody in here is proud of who You are too. What You did for us, sending Your Son Jesus to die on a cross for us. A cruel death just for us so You could save our lives. By the blood of the Holy Spirit, God, I just pray that if there's anybody in here that doesn't know that tonight, they'd come to know You during this invitation time. I pray they'd make the changes necessary in their life to live for You, to do Your will, to join You in what You would accomplish through them. Find that peace, find that joy. God, we thank You and we praise You. And in Jesus' name, amen.